Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's June 12th. We are in Treyasar and Amos, Parag Zion, Chapter 7.
Did you get any? I wanted to.
Yes.
Which was actually last Wednesday, which was perfect, but I thought, well, I already had it.
Okay, so say the name.
Rav Shlomo Ben Yisrael.
Yeah, Shlomo Ben Yisrael. Okay.
So is it tacky to ask this to for good thoughts to go to my daughter tomorrow? She's taking her boards for medical school. This is Shira Bracha Bas Yehudis, please.
So the pasuk says, "Kohir ani Hashem Elokim." So Hashem showed me. Says Amos. So Amos is now reporting about a vision that he saw. V'hinei yotzer govai, and behold, there are grasshoppers, locusts. Bischilas alos halokesh, when the crop first starts to grow. And it was the first growing of the crop after the shearing of the king. What they used to do is before the grain would grow to be a third of its height, they would harvest it, and that would be animal feed. Then it would grow back, and that would be what they would use for people. So it was already harvested for the animals, and now the new lekesh, the new crop, is growing, and that's when the locusts came. V'hayayim kila lech ol eseisef ha'aretz, and it will be when they finished eating the grass of the earth, which was a sign to Amos that there would be a terrible plague of locusts that would destroy all the crops based on this vision. Va'omar, and I said, Hashem Elokim, slachna, forgive, mi Yaakov Yaakov, will Yaakov be able to get up? Ki katonu, for he is small. Meaning, how could Yaakov survive such a plague? Please forgive. Nicham Hashem al zos, Hashem had a nacham on this. He changed his way of looking at it. Lo siya amar Hashem. Hashem said it will not be. So Amos is reporting that he saw a potential destructive plague of locusts, but then he davened and it was changed. The plague was averted because of Amos's tefillah. Then, Kohirani Hashem Elokim, so Hashem Elokim showed me. Vine kore lariv ba'ish Hashem Elokim. And Hashem was calling to fire to do battle. Vatochal es tahum rabah, and it consumed the great depths. V'achla es hachelek, and it consumed the portion of the field. So the next calamity he saw was fire. V'omar Hashem Elokim chadalna, and I said, Hashem Elokim, please stop that plague. Mi akum Yaakov, can Yaakov stand up? Ki katonu, for he is small. So again, Amos says, I davened, and nicham Hashem alzos, Hashem changed his mind about this. Gam hilo siel, so this will not happen. Amar Hashem Elokim, says Hashem Elokim. So Amos says, I davened regarding a second calamity that I saw, and again Hashem averted, he stopped the plague, he stopped the destruction. Kohirani, and so Hashem showed me. Vine Hashem nitzav al chomas anach, and behold, Hashem was standing on the wall. Now anach is the what is called the Kava Mashkolas. It's the builder's.
A plumb line.
Yeah. Level.
Yeah.
Right. To see, to make sure that a wall is straight. So he was kiviyachol standing on the wall. Uviado anach, and he was holding this plumb line. Vayomer Hashem Eli, and Hashem said to me, Ma Toroe Amos, what do you see, Amos? Va'omar anach, and I said, I see this level, this plumb line. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Hinani sam anach bekerav ami Yisrael, that I am putting an anach in the midst of my nation Israel, lo sif avor lo, I will no longer pass over what they do wrong. Which means the anach is a tool that measures precision. So Hashem says, I am about to act precisely with the Jewish people. I'm not going to pass over their sins anymore. I'm going to now be precise about their sins and punish them for what they have done. V'nashamu b'mos yischak, and the buildings or that which was constructed by Yischak, which is Yitzchak, will be destroyed. U'mikdishei Yisrael yeharavu, and the now, this literally means the holy places of Yisrael will be destroyed, but it's not referring to the Beis HaMikdash, it's referring to the houses of Avodah Zarah that were in Beis El, that were in the Northern Kingdom. V'kamti abeis Yeravam becharev, and I will rise up against the house of Yeravam with the sword, Yeravam ben Yoash, I'm going to now destroy him and his household because of all of their sins. And here, Amos is not able to daven to change the decree. Hashem says, this is what is going to happen. Don't bother to daven on this one. The other two, he davened and changed, but Hashem tells Amos, this one I am going to do. Now, we're going to read what happens because of this nevuah, but before we do that, let's go back and just point out a few things about the way that Amos presents the nevuah. First of all, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Makos that there were certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu said that later Nevi'im were able to overturn. Now, clearly that can't mean in terms of mitzvos, you can't overturn what Moshe Rabbeinu said. His Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is Torah, that is superior to any other nevuah that was ever said. However, it's not referring to mitzvos, it's referring to various pronouncements of punishment that Moshe Rabbeinu said that later Nevi'im were able to daven and were able to avert some of what Moshe Rabbeinu said. One of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu says is in Parashas Vezos HaBracha, he says, Vayishkon Yisrael betach badad ein Yaakov, that Yisrael will dwell, betach, will dwell with confidence, alone. Ein Yaakov, the eye of Yaakov, literally is what that means. But it means that Yisrael will be able to dwell alone and be able to be confident about their dwelling. And then Amos over here says, Mi Yakum Yaakov. Will Yaakov be able to stand up? He says it both in Pasuk Beis and in Pasuk Dalid. Excuse me, Pasuk Hey. That could Yaakov possibly stand? Ki katon hu, for he is small. That even though Moshe Rabbeinu said that the only way that the Klal Yisrael will be able to survive will be Ein Yaakov, which means they're behaving like Yaakov, like their father, like their ancestor Yaakov. But if they don't, then they will not be able to survive. Amos here says to Hashem, Yaakov cannot stand, save them anyway. And he davens on their behalf, and he is answered in the first two calamities that are mentioned over here. The way the Marsha explains, that's the way Rashi explains that, the Gemara, the way the Marsha explains that Gemara is that the Pasuk says, Vayishkon Yisrael betach, It's only when the Jews are acting like Yisrael with the two names of Yaakov, Yaakov and Yisrael, that Yisrael connotes a greater level. And if they don't behave that way, they won't be able to survive. But almost davens that they will be able to survive, even though they're behaving not with the name Yisrael, but with the name Yaakov. I don't want to get sidetracked into those two names, because there are many questions one could ask about that. But the point that the Gemara is making is that Amos here is davening to not only avert the calamities that he sees in his vision, but he's also davening to try to try to mitigate something that Moshe Rabbeinu had said in the Torah itself. And apparently he was successful, which is an incredible thing.
What is worse? Is locust worse than fire, or the Moshe we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Why, if he could have... No, we had all these other prep until now where Hashem said these bad things are going to happen. So why didn't he daven before?
So I don't know. Over here he sees a vision of it actually happening. Over there he was told things. Here he actually...
Right, he didn't say that he was going to... That the earthquake, he didn't see that, none. That wasn't like a
raw. Right. I mean, here it says he's actually here. Yeah, he showed me.
So it was an indication that he was shown, so he thought, okay, I'm supposed to take action.
Yeah, and apparently it was imminent. It's going to happen. Now, when it says that Hashem was al chomas anach on the wall of the plumb line. So it's the wall of the Beis HaMikdash that he sees. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that the Shekhinah, when we went into Golos with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah moved incrementally out of where it normally resides. The Shekhinah normally resides on top of the Aron, between the two Kruvim. Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, that's where the Shekhinah normally resides, whatever that means, and then incrementally it moved away. And that the Beis HaMikdash, when it was destroyed, finally, by Nebuchadnezzar, it was an empty shell that was being destroyed. As long as the Shekhinah resided in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no way any human being could have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because it wasn't just stones and wood, the Shekhinah resided there. But once the Shekhinah left, it was just a building, and then Nebuchadnezzar was able to destroy it. So it moved away in 10 stages. The Shekhinah moved in 10 stages. And the Gemara describes the 10 stages that the Shekhinah took, moving first from between the Kruvim to above the Kruvim, etc., moving on and on and on, and finally leaving Yerushalayim completely, and then Nebuchadnezzar was able to destroy it. This pasuk of on top of the wall is mentioned in the Gemara as the fifth stage of the Shekhinah leaving the Beis HaMikdash, leaving Yerushalayim. This takes place a long time before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is even before the 10 tribes go into Golos. As we know, Amos, as we talked about in the beginning of Amos, his nevuah takes place before the Ra'ash, before the great earthquake, which is when Yeshaya says his nevuah, and the 10 tribes go into Golos shortly after that. But it's still well over 100 years before Nebuchadnezzar destroys the Beis HaMikdash. So either this means that even at this early stage, the Shekhinah was already departing, which would therefore suggest that even though the southern kingdom, Malchus Yehuda, were not doing Averus the same way that Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, was doing Averus. Nevertheless, since we are all one people, and Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, that when the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, were doing Avodah Zarah, that affected the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash as well. And therefore, it already began to depart from where it had resided, even though Malchus Yehuda did not deserve to go into Golos. It either means that, or this pasuk is just being borrowed to show that there is a level of the Shekhinah departing called Chomas Anach on top of the wall, And the Gemara is just borrowing from here to show that that's one of the stages of the Shekhinah's departure, but it didn't happen at this time, it happened later on. I don't know which way to go with that, but both would be acceptable possibilities. The Gemara also says, from this pasuk, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that Kol Hasha'arim Ninalu, all gates have been closed, all the gates of access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu have been closed, Chutz Mishare Ona'a, except for the gates of Ona'a. Ona'a is the where one person afflicts another person. There is Ona'as Mamon, there is hurting somebody financially, and then there's Ona'as Devarim, hurting somebody with words. And this is particularly referring to Ona'as Devarim. The Gemara there is discussing that even though other types of other gates that are meant to enable people to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are closed. Closed doesn't mean they're inaccessible, but it means it's very difficult to get through. But the gates of Ona'a are open, which means, and this is a frightening thing, and it's meant to be frightening, that if one person hurts another person with words, and the victim cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those tefillos get in very easily. And it's dangerous for the person who attacked the other person with words. And that is derived from here, because Anach, the Gemara seems to be using the Shoresh of Aleph Nun, to be Ona'a, it's the right word is not affliction. The right word is, you know what I'm trying to say, but I know it's a good word for it. We'll just call it hurtful words. So that Hashem is nitzav al chomas anach. He is standing on the wall of hurtful words. That he is there prepared to accept the tefillos of anybody who davens because of hurtful words. And that for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not closing the gates. It seems then that the first two visions that Amos sees, the first one being that of the locusts, the second one being that of fire, that there he was able to daven to avert the calamity. Locusts consume the food. They destroy the food supply. Why would that come against the Jewish people? The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avos, that the locusts increase when people are, they don't give matnos aniyim, they don't give gifts to the poor, they don't give maisos properly, meaning that when people misuse food, that it's supposed to be given in the proper way to the kohen, to the levi, to the poor, and are not done properly, so then the food supply, God forbid, is attacked. That Amos was able to daven, he was able to avert that calamity. The fire, that calamity, so fire can come for a number of reasons, meaning if it is a punishment, it can come for a number of reasons. We know that fire does come for certain types of immorality, and also for witchcraft. There are certain things that fire is specifically a punishment for. And those things as well, Amos was able to daven and avert those calamities. But this last calamity seems to be focused on the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, on the putting down one to the other, the hurtful words that one says to another. And that, Amos is being told, don't even bother to try to avert the calamity. That if the Jewish people are going to be doing that to each other, then the calamity is a foregone conclusion. And it will not be able to be stopped. And Hashem, I will be exacting with the Jewish people and in my punishment of them. We know that, as we said in the introduction to Amos, that Amos was the Navi that Hashem put in place prior to the great Ra'ash, prior to the great earthquake. And the reason was that Amos was charged with trying to avert that calamity. Meaning that had the Jews listened to Amos, that calamity would have not have happened. Once that calamity happens, then the main Navi shifts to Yeshaya. Yeshaya is a post-Ra'ash Navi, where Amos is a pre-Ra'ash Navi. And there's a difference. And we talked about that in our introduction, in our first class on Amos. Here, Amos is not talking about the great earthquake, which he already spoke about, but rather he's speaking about other destructions, whether it be grasshoppers, whether it be fire, or whether it be this exacting approach by Hashem. This third calamity, Hashem acting in a precise manner against the Jewish people, doesn't tell us what the calamity is. It's actually quite different than the first two. The first two are the calamity itself is described. Grasshoppers, fire. Here, it doesn't say what the calamity is. It just says, Chomas Anach, that it would be with a precision. Then it tells us in the next pasuk, in Tess, in verse 9, that things will be destroyed, buildings will be destroyed. And I will rise up against the house of Yeravam with this sword. This may be a reference to the earthquake. The buildings being destroyed certainly fits with the earthquake. We saw references to buildings being destroyed before. There were references to the Ra'ash, to the earthquake. But this is the first time, I believe, that we see a connection between the destruction of the 10 tribes and an Aveira of how they mistreated each other. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayishlach Amatzia Kohen Beis El El Yeravam Melech Yisrael Lemar. Amatzia, who was the Kohen of Beis El, which means he was not really a Kohen, he was a priest working in the Avodah Zarah of Beis El, he sent to Yeravam, the king of Israel, saying, now we had a king Amatzia in Malachim, who was a tzaddik, and that is not this person. This person was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and he was in the northern kingdom. Amatzia was a king from Malchus Beis David in the southern kingdom. So what did he send to Yeravam? Kashar Alecha Amos. Amos has formed a group against you. Bekerav of Beis Yisrael, amongst the house of Israel, meaning he's trying to rebel against you. Lo suchal ha'aretz nahachil es kol devarav. The land will not be able to handle his words. He's out to destroy you. Ki cho amar Amos, kaso says Amos. Bacherav Yamos Yeravam, Yeravam will die by the sword. V'Yisrael galo yiglem me'al ad maso, and Yisrael will go into galus from upon their land. So this was the message that Amatzia, who was a Rasha, sent to Yeravam. Now Yeravam was not a great tzaddik. However, we learned already that Yeravam rejected this report of Amos. He did not accept this report of Amos, and he said, you are not telling me the truth. We know this. How do we know that Yeravam rejected the report of Amos? We know this because in the Nevuah of Yeshaya, which is Chazon, which we lay in on the Shabbos before Yom Kippur. I'm Tishrav, thank you. I'm sorry, that is the wrong Nevuah. That's not the one I want to tell you about. Trying to remember which Nevuah it was. In the Nevuah of, was it Hosea? Just one second. No, I'm sorry, it was Hosea. My mistake. The Nevuah of Hosea. So there, Hosea, we spoke about this at the time, in the beginning of Hosea, he was placed chronologically, in the days of Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchi Yehuda, that he spanned the reigns of Uzziah, who was a tzaddik, Yosam, who was a tzaddik, Achaz, who was a rasha, Yechizkiyahu, who was a tzaddik, the kings of Yehuda. They're mentioned. Uvimei Yeravam ben Yoash Melch Yisrael, and in the days of Yeravam ben Yoash King of Yisrael. So the Gemara says, why is Yeravam mentioned over here? Yeravam is not normally given the respect to be mentioned because he was not a tzaddik. But the reason why he was mentioned is because he did not accept the Lashon Hara that Amatzia here said about Amos. He rejected the Lashon Hara. As Rashi says here in the beginning of Hosea, Lefi Shelo Kibra Lashon Hara Al Amos. He rejected the Lashon Hara, it says in the Maseches Psachim. Now, what was the Lashon Hara? So, you could say the Lashon Hara was, because he said what it is that Amos said. So, you're not allowed to say something negative, even if it's the truth. That's the Lashon Hara. The thing is, Amos was saying Nevuah. Nevuah that Amos was announcing, you would think, should be repeated. So what was the Lashon Hara? Where's the Lashon Hara over here? So if you look carefully in Pasuk Yod Aleph, what does Amatzia report? He says that Amos says, Bacherev Yomus Yeravam. Yeravam will die by the sword. But if you look back at Pasuk Tes, at verse 9, that's not what he said.
It doesn't say die.
And it says, who will Hashem rise up against? V'kamti al beis Yeravam becharav. The household of Yeravam. It does not say that Hashem will rise up against Yeravam, but rather the household of Yeravam. And in fact, Hashem does not rise up against Yeravam. It is Yeravam's son who ends up being the recipient of this curse, of this calamity. And so, but Amatzia was trying to get the king riled up against Amos, so he changed the words, and he made it seem that Amatzia had prophesied against Yeravam himself, when he had not done so. Yeravam rejected the Lashon Hara. He said, either it's not true, and if it is true, he's a Navi. He's speaking from Hashem. And whatever he says, we're going to accept. So because of that, Yeravam gets mentioned in the beginning of Hosea, which is to say that Yeravam, although he had many things that he did bad, there was some redeeming qualities about Yeravam ben Yoash, as we see here. I just want to pause here and point out that this is a common thing that and one has to be very vigilant about such things when they hear reports from one person. Really, it's rechilus when one person tells you something that someone else said or did about you or towards you, and the report is meant to get you upset at that person. That's rechilus. It's rechilus for Reuven to tell Shimon that Levi said something negative about him or did something negative towards him, and the purpose being that Shimon should get upset at Levi. So that is rechilus on Reuven's part. The very often the way rechilus is done, sometimes it's simply repeating exactly what happened. That's sometimes what happens, where in fact Levi did a terrible thing to Shimon, and Reuven tells Shimon about it, which is straight out rechilus. Unless there is some, if there's some way that Shimon could protect himself, that's different. Then there may be toilas, there may be some value. But if the damage has already been done, then Shimon can't protect himself anyway, then it is purely rechilus. Sometimes rechilus is just repeating the story. But very often, Reuven, when the rechilus to Shimon, Reuven actually has a vendetta against Levi himself. And therefore, the way he tells the story is deliberately done in a manner that will get Shimon more upset. And sometimes, or frequently actually, it's a subtle difference. And very often it's a difference of a word, or a tone of voice, or an emphasis. And that's enough to get the other person very upset. Amatzia here did very little. He didn't change much. He just took out the word base. It's just the house of Yeravam versus Yeravam. But that's a significant difference if you're trying to get someone upset. And therefore it is a terrible, it would have been Rechilus, well, since this is a Nevuah, maybe it would not have been Rechilus had he told the truth. But this sort of thing, if it is Rechilus, is bad enough as it is. But when one alters the story just slightly in order to create more ill will, that's a terrible thing. And again, it is a common, it's a common thing. I was once party to a or witness to a situation where a person had contracted somebody else to make something for him. This did not happen in Atlanta. This happened actually many, many years ago. But he was making an item for him, and so the item was not ready. So he left a note with a third party to ask the person, you know, to kind of nudge the person a little bit, you know, where's my item? And the way that the middleman repeated it was, he's really impatient, right? Which was not accurate. It was, but one could easily have seen it that way, and in so doing, he created ill will between the two parties, because he added that description that he's really impatient. Where's the item? Which so why did he do that? Because it was in his vested interest to create some ill will between the two of them. So I'm saying people do it, and when we're on the receiving end of hearing the rechilus, it's important to be vigilant and to call a person on their report. That if a person does report, it's important to make sure that the, you know, one can say I'm not going to listen at all, but even if it is important to listen, let's say there is a toilet, let's say there is reason to make sure that one protects themselves, but one should call the other person on the report, because every nuance could be, you know, are you saying that right? Is that the way it was said? Was it said with that tone of voice? When a person is called on it, they often backtrack. Well, I'm not sure if it was said that way. Well, you know, wasn't it? They often will backtrack if they are made to face their words. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayomer Amatzia Alamos. So since Yeravim did not get riled up, so Amatzia himself says to Amos, Chose, seer, you who sees Nevuah, Lech Berach Lechal Eretz Yehuda. Go run away to the land of Yehuda. Don't stay here in the northern kingdom. Go run away to the southern kingdom, to Yehuda. Ve'echol Sham Lechem. And go eat bread there. V'sham Tinavei. And there you can say prophecy. We don't care about your prophecy here. If you want to say prophecy, go to the southern kingdom where they care about prophecy and eat some bread over there. This was a put down towards Amos. This was Onas Devarim. This was a put down. What he was saying to him is, go say your Nevuah and they'll feed you scraps of bread for your Nevuah. Almost like, you know, you're like a dog. You'll go get some scraps of bread from the southern kingdom. They'll appreciate your words. They'll give you some scraps to eat for your Nevuah. Ubeisel lo sosif odli hinave, and don't say any more Nevuah here in Beisel. Ki mikdash melech hu, because this is the sanctified place of the king. Ubeis mamlachahu, and it's the house of the king. We're not interested in your nevuah. We follow a different way over here in the northern kingdom. Vayan Amos vayomer l'Amatzia, Amos responded and said to Amatzia, Lo navi anochi, I am not a navi. V'lo ven navi anochi, I'm not the son of a navi. Now this does not mean I'm not a navi. He is a navi, but he means I'm not a false navi like the people in the northern kingdom. I'm not the son of a false navi like the people of the northern kingdom. Ki voker anochi, that I am someone who has great flocks, from the word bakar. I have flocks of cattle. Uboles shikmim, and I search examine. Thank you. I inspect these. I think they're sycamore trees. The sycamore tree was used for wood. Either, I don't think it was firewood, I think it was building wood. I think it was for lumber. But it was, the wood was strong wood. And the way it would work is a sycamore tree that had never been cut before was cut back, and then when it grows back stronger, bigger limbs, bigger wood. So I would be one who looked carefully at the sycamore trees, because I have a whole, it's not called an orchard, I guess, but a whole forest of sycamore trees, and I'm an expert in knowing which trees are ready to be cut back, which trees have been cut back before and are ready to be cut for lumber. I'm an expert in these things. Amos was saying, I'm a very wealthy person, which Amos was. Amos was a very wealthy man. He was independently wealthy. And this statement that Amatzia makes against Amos was because in Amatzia's mind, Amos was a pauper, because Amos didn't dress like a wealthy person, and Amos was not demonstrating any kind of employment when he was prophesying, and therefore Amatzia simply superimposed on Amos what he thought about generally about the Nevi'im, and he said, you're this pauper, you're a leech in society, go say your Nevuah in this southern kingdom, they'll throw you some scraps of bread. So Amos says back, actually, I'm not your kind of Navi that you're used to up here, and I actually have a lot of wealth. I have great flocks of cattle, I have forests of sycamore trees. Vayikacheni Hashem e'acharei hatzon, and Hashem took me from the sheep, from my shepherding. Vayomer elai Hashem, and Hashem said to me, Leich hinavel elami Yisrael, go say prophecy for my nation Yisrael. Hashem sent me here to say the prophecy. It is not because I need scraps of bread from the likes of you. Moreover, Chazal point out that almost like many of our leaders, was a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. The Avos were shepherds. David HaMelech was a shepherd. We find that it's a common thing that our leaders were shepherds. Amos himself was a shepherd, that he had great flocks and he shepherded them himself many times. The word uboles shikmim that I investigate, these sycamore trees, comes from the word uboles, with a shin at the end. It could be it's a sin. I think it's a shin, though. And it means to investigate. But here is one of the places where we know, or we learn, we spoke about this in our introduction, that Amos had a significant speech impediment. And therefore, he pronounced the word boles. He couldn't say the word bolesh properly because of his speech impediment. And we said in our introduction to Amos that this was deliberate, that Hashem chose a Navi that had a speech impediment, even though really that would be a diminishing of the kavod of Hashem, that his shliach, that his agent should not speak properly. And yet, Hashem did it anyway, as we explained. Hashem deliberately did it because He wanted to send a message to the Jewish people that they need to mend their ways, that they need to improve, that Amos was not being given the, if you recall from that first shiur we had on Amos, he's not being given the special dispensation that Moshe Rabbeinu got, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment, yet when he spoke the word of Hashem, the impediment went away. With Amos, it did not go away, which was showing the Jewish people that there is a serious problem over here that needs to be corrected. But instead, the Jewish people said, this is who Hashem sends the Nevuah with. They said it shows that Hashem isn't so important, that Hashem isn't so chashuv, He isn't so great. He sends a Nevuah with someone who isn't able to speak properly. So they took it as a negative instead of taking it as a warning to them. So this is one of the places where we find almost a speech impediment is with this word bolais. That's one of the places where you see it. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. The Atah now, says Amos, Shema Dvar Hashem, listen to the word Hashem. Atah Omer, you are saying, Lo Sina Ve'al Yisrael, do not prophesy on the Jewish people, V'lo Satif Abeis Yischak, and don't, again, another word for speaking, about the house of Yitzchak. Sometimes you find Yitzchak with a sin instead of a tzadi. It might be another indication of his speech impediment, but this is not the only place in Tanakh where Yitzchak is written Yitzchak. Lachain, therefore, Ka'amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Ishtecha bo'ir tizne, your wife in the city will act promiscuously. Uvanecha uvnosecha b'cherev yipolu, and your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Vadmascha b'chevel tichulak, and your land will be divided up by the rope, which means they're going to survey your land, and it's going to be given out to creditors. V'ata al adama temea tamus, and you will die on defiled land. V'Yisrael galo yigale me'al admaso, and the Jewish people will go into galus from upon their land. You Amatzia, you will be severely punished. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose your land. You're going to be buried on defiled land, and everybody's going to go into galus because of your behavior. You're rejecting my nevuah. By rejecting my nevuah, you are essentially sealing the fate of the Jewish people, that the great Ra'ash, the great earthquake, will come, and that will essentially seal the fate of the 10 tribes, that there will be destruction, and they will go into Golus. This does not necessarily seal the fate of the southern kingdom, but the northern kingdom, if they're rejecting Amos, who was here to prevent that earthquake. And again, that earthquake is symbolic of what is going to happen. So by rejecting Amos, they are sealing their fate that is what is going to happen. Yeah?
I don't recall often seeing reference to the house of Yitzchak. What is that referring to?
You're saying irrespective of whether it's Yitzchak or Yitzchak, why the house of Yitzchak?
Yeah.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Yeah. That's a nice question. Why mention it that way? Unless it's to bring out that difference in how he says it. That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Maybe because Yitzchak never left Canaan.
That could be. That could be. So you're saying that the Golos is particularly
harsher,
right?
Harsher.
It's in the contrast to Yitzchak, who never left the land. That could be. It's a nice explanation. Yeah.
Rabbi, Korach was swallowed up because he, wanted to seize the power. Here, somebody is claiming to be a priest when he's not, and yet all it says is that he'll die on defiled lands instead of, you've got an earthquake right there. You could easily have
him
go under. I'm just wondering, why defiled land, and how does land get defiled?
No, defiled land means outside of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to go into Golis, and he'll be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, okay. So that's his punishment?
Yeah. But he's not doing what Korach did, because Korach was usurping Aaron. He's not usurping anybody. He's doing Avodah Zarah.
That's not a supreme God.
Or? Yeah. But I'm saying that it's not the kahuna. It's not. He's not saying that I'm going to work in the Beis HaMikdash. He's saying I don't care about the Beis HaMikdash, which obviously in a way is worse, but it's not the same thing as Korach. But the Korach point is anyway important because, as you'll recall, when we talked about the earthquake comes because of Uzziyahu, who does usurp the kahuna, or attempts to usurp the kahuna. That's why it happens. We spoke about, in the beginning of Amos, how even though Amos is prophesying about the northern kingdom, and that's the one that really is the one that's in big trouble because of the earthquake, but it is actually triggered by the actions of Uzziyahu, who in all other respects was a tzaddik, in his misstep in the southern kingdom in usurping the kahuna. We talked about how that with Korach there was the ground swallowing up Korach, there was the fire that consumed the 250 men, but that instead of those things happening to Uzziyahu, there was Tzaras, as when we talked about the Pesukim at that time of what happened over there. So the earthquake that happens is the ground saying, I want to swallow up Uzziyahu, the same way the ground swallowed up Korach. That's what the symbolism is, that there is this, that he deserved to have been swallowed up, but in the end he was not swallowed up because Hashem had promised not to do that again. Now, the entire parak over here, so we've gotten more personal with Amos. The first part of Amos was really a lot more, there was Nevuah, but as we said, there wasn't a vision, and we don't have a dialogue between various people in Amos, we just have Amos saying prophecy. But here, we've now moved into an actual story, a dialogue that happens between Amatzia and Amos. And you see that Amos is not afraid to stand up for himself and to make it clear that Amatzia is going to be in trouble for what he said. Now, we are headed towards the end of Amos. And as we know, unfortunately, they're not going to do tshuva. They're not going to listen to Amos. And Amos is going to be one of those nevuahs that in the end does not accomplish what the original goal was. Nevertheless, one should not think that there is no effect whatsoever. Whenever we deal with these nevuahs that are going on, we have to remember there's a lot of people that are hearing these nevuahs. And just as in any crowd, whenever there is there are encouraging words or words that are meant to get people to improve, various people will react in different ways. And in the Northern Kingdom is no different. There were people who were very positively affected by Amos's words and improved what they were doing because of Amos's words. But overall, his nevuah did not change the Northern Kingdom in a way that would avert the calamity. And so in the end, despite all of this, and what we're reading now, despite all of this, there's going to be calamity. Obviously, like with all nevuahs, Amos is talking to us as well as talking to the people he's talking to in the Northern Kingdom. And that's the idea of a nevuah, shehutzruch haladoros, a nevuah that is needed for all generations, is recorded. All of this that is being written down, despite the fact that it didn't have the effect that it was meant to have, it's still speaking to us directly. So the message that Amos says, I davened to avert the grasshoppers, the locusts, and that davening worked. And I davened to avert the fire, and that davening worked. But when it came to the mistreating of each other through harsh words, that there I was not even given the opportunity to daven, that is meant to be a powerful message to us, and not to look at it as something that happened then, but something that we are to take to heart now. it's more direct when it is in the form of a story and you have a matzah's reaction to it. Then there's a little bit more of a direct feeling about it and the fact that he sees this vision.
Yeah. Amatzia refers him to Chose as opposed to a Navi.
Yeah.
And even though Amos, all his responses to him talked about prophecy,
yeah,
using the root word of Navi.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder why does it say Chose? I saw something on this day. I was trying to remember what I had seen. I think he says that it's meant to be a negative. Even though Chose is not a bad thing, it just means a visionary. But I think
we've seen the trend before.
Yeah, I think Chazal say that he meant it as a negative. You're seeing these visions; they're not as if they're not real, something like that. But I don't remember exactly what the Medrash says about it. Okay, we'll stop here.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.